Hello guys, welcome back to another episode of Godly Scripted. How are you? How have you been? How are you balancing the mental pressure, both to those who are working from home and to my fellow students? Let us try to, you know, take more than a sneak peek into our books. It's really important because once this is over, we are going to find ourselves inside a huge pot of academic helter-skelter, and let us just try to, you know, find balance amidst it, amidst the whole pressure, okay? And I just want to say that may God help us and may the Holy Spirit give us the strength to find balance and, you know, make things easier for us. Thank you so much. So without much further ado, I would like us to start up today's topic. So today, we'll be talking about identity and the word becoming. So it's important for us to know who we are, not who we think we are, not who we assume we are, not who your friends think you are, your parents, your pastors, your ex thinks you are, not who your frenemies think you are, not who your partner thinks you are, not who your church people think you are, but who God says you are. You are not what you've done. You are not your negative thoughts. You are who God says you are. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't take responsibility for our actions, but I'm saying that let us not attach our actions to our person, to our being. The power of identity is really important. It is really crucial, and it shouldn't be played with. It shouldn't be, you know, taken for a joke. Which is why I always try to say this and also do it. Stop talking down or saying negative things to yourself, even as a joke. You are sowing a seed. Your spirit does not know the difference. The Bible says that the life and death are in the power of the tongue. It never specified, oh, when you are joking, when you are serious. This shows that we need to be cautious and conscious about what we speak into the atmosphere around us, you know, to avoid sowing a seed that will become a problem in the future. You know, it's really important that we try to filter our words, you know, weigh our words before we put it out into the atmosphere. Growing up, I hated that I was a girl. I prayed, but nothing happened. You know, I grew up amongst my brothers, my cousins, my dad. You know, like I could literally count the number of females that were in the house with me per time. My mom, she was there. Aside from occasions when she had to, you know, leave for work, then the nannies, the maids, and then a few female cousins and aunties that come now and then. But for a greater amount of time, the house was filled with male persons. You know, I wanted to be allowed to go play football, you know, to do by school race, to sit without being told to close your legs. Even when I was wearing trousers, you know, I prayed, like I really wanted to be a boy. I really wanted, you know, to wear my trousers and come out and nobody's telling me, hey, go and sit in the kitchen and watch your mommy cook. Oh God, I know it's like thinking about it is such a silly thought to have had then. Days rolled into weeks, into months, into years. since I was born till this moment that I'm speaking to you, my dear brethren and members of God's household, the answer is still a no. God kept saying no. It took a lot to accept that no. Like, God, I can't believe I'm saying this. I really wanted to experience urinating while standing up and not squatting. Like, thinking about it, I'm just trying to understand why, as a child, I had that so much thought, why I held so much importance to all those experiences. But guys, trust me, at this point, like, that experience, I can give, like, my shot is on the A game. Yeah, so that's that. So it took a lot of time. It took a lot of time for me to accept myself as a female, because I felt probably if I grew up as a boy, certain things that I experienced wouldn't have happened because, of course, I was a guy, you know. So a couple of years back, when I had accepted God as my personal life and savior, my personal God, Lord and Savior, a friend of mine bought me a Bible. I bought my first Bible. I got my first Bible, rather, on the 19th of July 2018 by my dear friend Kelvin. Probably he won't remember this, but while he was leaving, he just dropped the Bible and he left. And while he was leaving, he said, "Did he just look through the book of Ephesians? Just, you know, just glance through it." Guys, I got hooked on chapter 1 and chapter 2. And I cried my eyes out reading those chapters. I was dealing with a lot. I won't lie. I was dealing with a lot. A whole bunch of, you know, burdens. I was burdened with emotional baggage from two past relationships that I didn't get to work through the aftermath. I just swept it under and then jumped into the next one after a couple of months. Like, I was dealing with both of them. I was in self-doubt. I was dealing with self-rejection. I was dealing with my self-esteem. I saw myself as some, you know, piece of broken person who wasn't worth anything. So I couldn't forgive myself for things that I had done to hurt God. Like, it was so, so, so crazy. I was dealing with a lot of unforgiveness inside of me, right? And I've talked about this before in a previous post on my social media handles about identity also. But I'll try to summarize it. Ephesians talks about, actually, the first two chapters, it tells you in plain words who you are. Like, beyond your job, beyond your marital status, beyond your account balance, beyond your influencing reach, it tells you who you are. When every title, when every achievement is stripped away, it tells you who you are in plain words. It tells you who you are in plain words, underlined, capital, bold words. It tells you who you are. It says that you are blessed in Christ. It says that God knew you before the foundations of the world. You know, it tells you that you were chosen by God, that you are loved, you are saved by grace. It tells you that you are sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. It tells you that you are not a sojourner, but you're a member of the household of God. It tells you that what else does it say? It says that you're a follower of Christ. It tells you that you are a living vessel of God. It tells you that you're a child of God. None of those places, nowhere did the Bible say that you are trash, or that you are a gutter rat, or that you are lesser than a church rat. Nowhere does it say that you are broken. Nowhere does it say that you are not complete. Nowhere that does it say that you are not enough. Nowhere does it say that you are not worth it. And I would like us to take time, you know, to study and meditate on them. Personalize it. Eat it, drink it, breathe those words, because you can never start any process, even the healing process, with having that load of mumbo jumbo in your being. You need to, you know, transform your mind. You need to switch up the essence of God in you. You need to unclog your heart and your soul, because like the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. Your thoughts fit your behavior and your character, because your mind is that place where your knowledge is acquired, you know, where it is stored, where it is reserved. It is where the your understanding and your wisdom finds their residence, you know, where you take the word of God and chew it and turn it into practical steps. I'm going to make a little reference to Numbers chapter 13 and 14, where Moses had sent out 12 spies to go and look up and, you know, check out the land of Canaan, which flows with milk and honey, and find out whether they were living in tents or in camps, how heavy their harvest was, how their people was, and give them a feedback so that they could strategize how to take over the land. Now, 10 persons, right? Yes, 10 spies out of those 12 came back with a different message from 2. Now, 2 persons said, yes, so the land flows with milk and honey, we can take it, let's go and possess the land that God has given us. And 10 out of them opened their mouth and said that yes, the land is good, but that they could not take it, that they were like grasshoppers in the eyes of those persons, that they are grasshoppers compared to those people. The whole bunch of Israelites, every one of them, started murmuring against Moses, against God, that why will God take them out of Egypt only for them to be killed by giants and all that. And that particular place in the Bible spoke a lot to me, because sometimes we allow the words of other people to take over our reality, take over the manifestation, take over the essence of who we are. The Israelites saw themselves as grasshoppers because of the feedback of 10%. They couldn't even give the positivity coming from the 2 persons a chance. They just jumped out of that 10 and out of the 10 words, and then boom, they went with their murmuring. And it just goes out to say that in as much as majority is saying something, doing something, try to be sensitive, try to discern and know whether they are on the right path, because sometimes majority is not always right. And this goes along to say that do not let your past or your present or people's perspective turn you into a different person than who God has created you to be. Don't let them turn you into a prisoner. It might be difficult. It's not easy. Trust me, I've been here. It is not easy. But try as much as you can to take charge of your thought processes, you know. Take charge of the gateways of your being. If you can, write down personalized positive affirmations and paste them at your headbed, you know, or where you can see them every day as a reminder, so that you can keep, you know, read them out to yourself, keep as a constant reminder. Because in identifying who you are, you need to start positioning yourself to become. Now, to become means to grow into, you know, to develop from something into another. It is creating a possibility for change, you know, movement, evolving, you know. It is an act active an action word. It is not an OTP. It is not a one-time password. It is not a one-time thing. Rather, it is a recurring decimal. You can't remain 20 every day crawling. You can't grow into 30 with the mindset of 12. At every stage and season of our lives, we go through an experience. We go through a becoming process. Now, whether the aftermath is positive or negative depends on how and where we channel that process into. Now, the Bible will talk about the process of us in the potter's wheel, and the potter's wheel is one of the mankind's earliest inventions in the last 6,000 years, and it is very, very surprising, guys. It is very, very surprising that the process of a potter's wheel still hasn't changed, just a few bit of civilized modifications, but the process, the step by step, has not changed. Now, the first step a potter does is to knead the clay to get rid of impurities and air, and he must surround that clay with his hands, and he must master the clay to make it responsive to his touch. We are the clay, you and I. God is the potter. Our experiences and our encounters is the wheel. We need to, learn how to yield ourselves, our everything to God, withholding nothing. We need to wield out our victories, our weaknesses, our strengths, our failures. We need to wield everything to God at the foot of the cross. We need to give him all, we need to take down those walls down and be open, let him know that he has permission to walk into you and walk around you and live inside of you. Let him know that you don't have privacy when it comes to your intimate relationship with him. Let God know that there is nothing separating your vulnerability and him. Now, in Jeremiah chapter 18, God talked about his readiness to mold us into who we need to be for every season in our lives. But our strong-headedness, our walls, our trying to be strong, even when it comes to him, keeps us in a place of comfort and status quo, and there is no room for growth. Now, it is the point of vulnerability, of giving yourself to God, is the essence of becoming. But it's so ironical that people now call any and every experience their journey to becoming. Everyone is now using the word so much that it has lost its essence, and it is discouraging that the moment you see someone say or put up on their status and say, "I like the woman I'm becoming," guys, trust me, just know that breakup day inside. Like, it can't be too far. It can't be too far. Or when you see a guy write, "Oh, I like the person. I like the man God is molding me into." Lie, you're not becoming anything. You're just dealing with probably the tease, or probably some vile word someone put out to him. Now, you be very careful, guys. Why I say this is that you be very careful to notice that they will now be doing shoulder pad up and down, start be posting quotes that don't have correlation, but one thing that gives them away is that the becoming process has nothing to do with your reaction and actions to people's to you. It has nothing to do with your mood or your emotions, but your spirit, your soul, and your willingness to be vulnerable to God. Now, I'm not saying that God's hand cannot still be seen when we go through the consequences or the aftermath of our actions. But I want us to come to the consciousness of understanding that when God created us, He has already, you know, orchestrated experiences, both good, both bad, both traumatic. Like He has put us in that place where you are going to go through this to learn that. Okay, let's say in the place of acceptance, He has orchestrated situations, you know, experiences that will teach us that we don't need people's acceptance. We need only God's acceptance. He has placed situations that will teach us that we don't need to have our friends as our backup when we go through stuff. We need Him as our only backup. God has placed those experiences. Now, sometimes we make a bad decision and the consequences and the aftermath comes in. God can still be there. God will still be there, because as much as we would want to shield and shy away from Him when we do stuff, when we do negative things, when we hurt Him, He's still at the door of our heart knocking and asking to come in to help us to, you know, make a way out of that seamless way, make a way out of that bad decision, right? And just like Pastor Mrs. Sarah Jakes Roberts will always say that sometimes she tends to think that if she didn't get pregnant at 13 and go through everything she went through, she probably won't be the Sarah Jakes Roberts that we know today. Shockingly, she is the daughter of Pastor T.D. Jakes' child. Now imagine someone who has been doing ministry for years and then his daughter, 13, gets pregnant. He also went through a process because of that. She also went a process. Their family went through also a process for her to become who she is today. And sometimes I tend to think about it. If she didn't get pregnant at 13 and go through every single hurdle, every single trial, every single experience she went through because of that, probably she wouldn't be the voice and the force that we know in God's ministry. And it's also important to know that God gives us free will, you know, freedom to decide if we want His help to become. He doesn't force us. He just allows us to make that choice and hopes that we choose Him. Just like he gives us the choice to choose between serving Him and making heaven and going the other route. And I would like to end this episode with these words. Dear beloved, let go and let God. Take down those walls and let Him in. You are not alone. You are not broken. You are complete. You are not weak. You are strong. You are not an echo. You are a voice. You are strong. You are beautiful, you are handsome, you are powerful, you are worth it. You are worth every molecule of love in this world. You deserve this healing process. Do not let anyone tell you otherwise. Do not let anyone make you feel otherwise. There are generations connected to you. There are destinies tied to you. To your identity, to your becoming process. And if you don't rightly become, if you don't rightly give yourself to God to be who He has orchestrated you to be even before you were formed in your mother's womb, if you don't rightly step up and be that voice you need to be, they won't. So I'm just charging you to step up, speak words of positive affirmations to yourself, remind yourself that you are loved, remind yourself that you are strong, you are powerful, you are beautiful, remind yourself that you are handsome, remind yourself that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. thank you so much for listening in to today's episode. I really do appreciate it. Thank you so much. And thank you so much, guys. Thank you for the feedbacks, for the love, for the support, for the encouragement words, for the reviews. I am truly honored. Thank you. Thank you. Like, I am overwhelmed. Thank you so much. And feel free to send me a DM on any of my social media handles. Thank you. Feel free. I don't know why I keep saying thank you. Probably I'm just overwhelmed. Feel free to send me a DM on any of my social media handles. My DMs are open. You can send your feedbacks, your reviews. You can send what you've learned from the past episode and also this one. You can also send voice messages from the podcast platform. I'll also get it, and I'll be looking forward to hearing from you. I'll be looking forward to hearing the steps you've made in this journey. Thank you so much, guys. Thank you so much, guys. Till next Wednesday, be safe, keep praying, and don't forget, you are worth it. You are worth the crucifixion, love. You are worth the blood on the cross. Till next Wednesday. Bye.